Well, I want to preach another message from Luke chapter 2, and I want to preach about the visit here, the visit of the shepherds, and I trust it's a blessing to you as you find your place in Luke chapter 2. I did hear this story about this little boy. He had some rough family. A couple of his uncles and that he was around a good bit were associated with the mob, and come Christmas time, and the pastor and the folks of the church saw that in the nativity scene, the baby Jesus was gone. And so they started worrying about that and wondering if somebody had vandalized, stole the Christ child out of the nativity there in the churchyard. And then they saw a little note. It was taped or wired to the crib. And so they went out to see it, and must have been from that boy who had influence from his uncles. He said, "If you want to see your baby again, I want a bicycle and basketball for Christmas." So a little bit of mob influence there. A little bit more along our lines, I did hear this other story about this fella. He had a teddy bear, and he named him Frank, Frank the Bear. He loved that little bear, but he came to Christmas Eve service, and the pastor was teaching and preaching, and came time for the offering, and he took that little teddy bear and put him in the offering plate, and a couple dimes as well. And his mom said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Well," he said back to her, says, "Well, I don't have any gold, and I don't know what myrrh is, so I put Frank and some cents in the offering plate." So it's that time of year. Luke chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 15, if you find your place here, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as was told unto them. The visit of the shepherds. We come to this fourth part of the sermon series, I guess, this month. You remember that those shepherds were the lower class of society. Unfortunately, people looked down on them. Yet they're the ones that God determined that he was going to send that recognition, that announcement to them that they could go and see the Christ child. That's who God sent to be those first cheerleaders or first worshipers there. Babies are wonderful. I remember the first time that Amy and I, we got to see Jared, our firstborn, for the first time, August 12th, 2000. And we saw him, Mercy Hospital, Catholic Hospital in Iowa City. We were serving up that way. Almost 2 years later, our redhead, Maddie, she was born. And so she was May 15th, 2002. Then we moved down this way, and we went to the hospital in Nashville, and we picked up our Southern Baptist. And you say, "Why do you call her that?" Well, we had Jared was born to Catholic Hospital. Allie, or Maddie, our redhead, she was born at Catholic Hospital, came down here, and the hospital was Baptist Hospital in Nashville, and so we picked up the Southern Baptist. We have two Catholics and a Southern Baptist at our house. Babies are a wonderful thing, a wonderful addition to have at your house, but no baby like that baby that those shepherds came to worship that day. And as they came and they were sent on a mission, as the angels had come to declare it unto them, they made haste, the Bible says, and they got in gear and went over there to see the Christ child. Now, I've been praying that God would help us this morning learn a great lesson that I believe will help us. I want you to look in verse number 15 as we work our way through this passage. We'll see the desire of the shepherds. The desire to see Jesus is what the shepherds have in verse number 15. It says, they came to pass that the angels were gone away. They finally skedaddled on from there, and they went into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." The desire. They could have said, "Well, as soon as we get an opportunity, we'll make our way over there when we get around to doing it. When things lighten up a little bit, when this workload becomes a little less than what it is currently, when the sheep are a little less routed than they are now," or whatever they could have said, "we're going to do that." But instead, the Bible says they looked at each other and said, "Boys, it's a good time for us to go. Let's go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing." I'm wondering about us this morning, though, as I was preparing to preach this week. I was thinking about, do we have that desire? Because you see, it was an immediate desire that they had. Said, "We want to go do this thing." I had the privilege a couple months ago to go do that missions conference. I was gone for that Sunday in Alaska. And I got to meet this fellow that I did not know who he was, but my sister had told me some years ago about a young man in their church. But now I'm sitting in the pastor's office doing a Bible study early in the morning with him. And this is the guy that some years ago got saved. He got saved. He wanted to follow Christ in believer's baptism. The pastor said, well, that'd be fine. They have a baptistry in the front of the church. And they said, well, we'll just do this. They said, oh, no, I don't want to do that. I want to get baptized in the ocean. Now, the pastor, he's a military man. He doesn't mind he's in the Coast Guard. He doesn't mind the water. Doesn't mind the thrill of it, all that. That's fine, except it's wintertime. I told you, we're in Alaska. But Jeremy says, that's what I want to do. And it's kind of hard when you get a pastor, you get challenged like that. Say, well, if you were a real pastor, you'd take me out there in the ocean. So, Jeremy, you know how cold it is. But he did. Now, the pastor wimped out. He got one of those body suits on, zipped it all the way up, you know, so the water didn't get to him. But the other guy, not so. So they waded out in the ocean in the wintertime in Alaska, and he got baptized. And this is the same guy that I'm sitting in the office with the pastor doing a Bible study here just a couple of months ago. But I'm thinking about that desire that somebody has to overcome obstacles. Do you have to go in the ocean to get baptized? No, and it's a good thing because we don't have any oceans very close to us. So most of us would have been in trouble back in the day. You don't have to do that, but it showed the desire of his heart that I just want to do this for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see this desire. I want you to look at the phrase there. It says, which the Lord hath made known unto us in verse number 15. And we see there, he said that the Lord has made known unto us, the end of that verse. I'm asking you this, what about you? What's God already revealed to you? Now, not a revelation from the sky and blazing it like that God did with the angels that he sent there, but God's already moved on our hearts and he's led us to do some things. I'm sure that he's led us to get back into his word. He's led us to tell somebody else about Christ, invite him to a service, in the Christmas Eve service, or start doing this or that for our neighbor. I learned a great lesson when I was a kid. I asked my dad, I said, well, how are you supposed to know if these things that you want to do are from God or from the devil? He said, well, much of the time, you can just figure which way they're leaning. So the devil's not going to want you to do something good and God won't want you to do anything bad. So you can typically figure it out from there. So when you've got a desire, you've got something on your heart to help somebody, to strengthen their frailties or whatever it is, you can assume that God is the one that put that on there. But what's he directed you to do? I can tell you this. We see the desire that the shepherds have there. That same promise that they had, go and see this thing. They said, well, we're going. I challenge each of us to agree or adhere to the desire that God has put in our hearts to figure out who he is more. In Jeremiah chapter 29, it says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. God was not hard to find when he told the shepherds where he was at. Well, he's not hard to find now. I did something in preparation for this message. I got on my computer or iPad or something, and I Googled some things. I Googled how to have a better garden. Not that I want one, but how to fix something on your car. How to, and I put several different instances in there. I put how to paint, how to have better painting techniques, how to catch more fish. How to be a better public speaker. I put several. And every one of those search results, it came up with page after page after page of ways that you could do what I just searched for. Well, I did another search, and that was how to get closer to God. Now, I understand that on the internet, there's all kinds of things. But the first result that came up said things that I could have preached from this pulpit very, very easily and would have been right in line with everything that you would expect. It said, pray and read your Bible. Go and gather with other Christians, and it gave several other steps that would help you get closer to the Lord. My point in saying this, and that little exercise I did this week, was to show all of us, there's never been a time in history when there's been more information than there is right now. Now, all that information is not good, but all of the information that's out there is there for us, and plenty of it is good. And so I say to you with that, plus Jeremiah 29, when God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. I meet people all the time. Well, I'm looking, I'm trying. My friend, if we try, we'll be like these shepherds and we'll sure enough find him. So there's no excuse for us in this current day of all the advantages and all of the resources that we have are at our disposal. If you, my friend, want to get closer to the Lord, you can. Sometimes we worry about the techniques. Well, what about my Bible study? What about my prayer? I've said it before, but I mentioned again today. Do you know the biggest hindrance to prayer I find? Not praying. The biggest hindrance to answers to prayer are not doing it. And I find that all of us get busy, but we ought to seek the Lord. I see the desire to see Jesus in these shepherds' lives. But not only that, look down at verse number 16 as we work our way through this passage. I see not only the desire in verse 15, but in 16 we see the thrill, the excitement there. And they came with haste, the Bible says, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Have you ever noticed that there are certain things that you would do if you had opportunity to do, but you're not going to go out of your way to do them? There's other things that it wouldn't have to be real easy. You would put a little effort in it, but there's other things that I'm just thrilled to get to do that. I was thinking we pass the big sun sphere in Knoxville every time we go through there. Whenever we're going to Murfreesboro, we get slowed down almost every time through Knoxville. And you look over there, and there's the sun sphere. It's built for the 1982 World's Fair. And I thought about that, and I checked it out one time. Well, what is all that for? And I found out that information, that's when it was built and what it was built for. But I thought, well, there's not very far, an hour and a half from us. It only costs $10 or so to get up in there. That's not undoable for most of the people, I wouldn't think. But I've never been. I wouldn't mind going, but I've never made an effort to go. I've never gone out of my way. I've never gotten off the interstate to go over there and park and find places and get up there and go look at the observation areas. And I'm wondering if the Christians in this culture that we live in right now are not as desirous to seek the Lord about to the extent that I am to go see the sun sphere in Knoxville. We'd do it if we could, if we didn't have anything else to do. If it was easy, in theory, I want to do it, and I plan to do it someday. I will do it one of these days, but it's not really high on my list. But I'm thinking about this morning. If that is how fervent I am in my search for Jesus Christ, just I would have never made it if I'd been a shepherd. Because the shepherd said, let us go with haste and find this thing. Let us go now even and see this thing which the Lord hath made known unto us. Do you have a thrill of the encounter with Christ? Has there been a time in the last 7 days when you just absorb what God was giving you in His Word, when you sat there and you let the words come to your eyes, but your eyes went further than your eyes and went down into your spirit, and you absorb what God had for you there? You search for it intently. My son is here, and he likes coffee. He used to work at Starbucks, and so he kind of became the barista for the family, and he'll make different drinks and all that. But sometimes he's interested, and so all other times it's just something he does. He drinks coffee. But he got really interested in it because his boss, my brother-in-law and pastor, and his uncle said, Jared, we want to open a coffee shop for some events at the church. And so then he started researching more about the different blends and getting himself freshened up on all of it. And then he also went a step further and came up with names for all of these. Now, I don't remember most of them, but the one I like the best, I don't like coffee, but the name I like the best is the Back Row Baptist. So if you go to Franklin Road and you want to go to their coffee shop, you can get the Back Row Baptist. It's their best seller. Shocker, isn't it? I would want something with the front row in it, Jared. So if you can incorporate that somewhere, that'd be great. But my point being that when there's some things that you look at for a little while and then you kind of release them and you go looking at other things, but then you come back to it again and again. But I'm challenging every Christian in this room today to be one that you're not on again, off again. You're not studying some things out for a little while and then leaving them in the dust after that. Instead, you are you're intently seeking the Lord for that thrill of the encounter. These shepherds, they went looking for God. They were on a mission. Let us know now, go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. There was another group of people on the mission as well. The wise men, sometime later, as they came and they told Herod that they were going to worship the Christ child. And we know that Herod said, well, when you find him, bring me word back. I want to worship him as well. Liar, liar, bright royal robe on fire. He didn't want to worship him. And so the Bible literally says that when they worshiped him, they went home a different way. God had told them, don't go back and tell Herod. They physically went back a different way. But can I just tell you that all of us spiritually ought to go back a different way whenever we spend time with the Lord? All of us ought to let it make such a change in our life that we're never the same. You say, Brother John, Pastor, I'm saved. I've already had that encounter. Yes, but there's another encounter in the morning, and there's another encounter available the next day and the next day. We ought to be getting in that Word of God that you're holding in your lap. We ought to be getting in those Scriptures and letting those Scriptures get into us so that we meet with the Lord and we have that excitement, or we have that thrill of the encounter, because that is, my friend, your birthright as a believer. You've got that chance to let the Word of God move upon your heart. I see the desire that they had. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. You better leave it, guys. You're ready. We're not waiting. We're heading on. But then when they got there, I see that they came with haste and they had that thrill. But look down, if you would, a few verses in verse number 20. You see in verse 19, Mary kept all these things in her heart. But in verse 20, and the shepherds returned. They had to get back to work, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them, just like the angels told them. That's what they found, glorifying and praising God. I was with a Christian sister, Amy and I were the other day, and she was telling me about an encounter that she had had when she was a young Christian, young in the faith. And she had met somebody who was an enforcer for Al Capone. This lady was up in years by the time this sister had met him. And she met this enforcer for Al Capone in all of his tribe that he had control of. And this enforcer for this mobster was telling this group of people that he was having a little trouble all over his Christian life, because he had since come to faith in Christ. But he had a little trouble not being mad and bitter against some of the Christians that he was around when he was a young person, when he was in the business. And the reason he had bitterness against them, they struggled with it, the reason he had that was not because they were mean, not because they were hypocritical, although some people are that way, I know. But here's what his big complaint was. Those people didn't have any joy. And that was a major thing that kept him from coming to Christ, because those people who named Christ didn't act like they were joyful. You understand that we, as believers in Christ, that we are the billboards, if you would, for the Lord Jesus Christ? We see that they went glorifying God, and I'm sure that as people came along, they were giving testimony of what God had done in their heart. The Bible says that in John chapter 15, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That's Jesus as he's speaking to some disciples there. Rejoice in the Lord always, the Bible says. And again, I say rejoice. In Proverbs in the Old Testament, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I'm afraid that sometimes we're not a good advertisement for Christ. One of my wife and I's favorite place to go eat in Murfreesboro, there's a couple other ones, and one in Nashville, one in Lebanon, is Demas, D-E-M-O-S with apostrophe at the end. Demas Steakhouse. And so we love to go there, and it's wonderful food and delicious. But I went there for the first time for the same reason that I went to Maggiano's. That's an Italian place in Nashville that's very delicious as well. Which is the same reason I went there is the same reason I went to Cootie Brown's when we moved here. Which is the same reason I went to Ridgewood Barbecue up in Bluntville, wherever it is. The reason I went to all those places is because somebody came and said, this is the best place. You got to go. I want you to go and experience what I've experienced at that restaurant. We call that customer referrals if you were in the business. Now, we're not in a business here. We're in church. We're speaking out for the Lord Jesus Christ, but customer referrals is still very, very important. We spend money to put advertisements out on the billboards around here to try to get people to come to church so we can tell them about Christ. We print lots of stuff and we send things out, all for the purpose of getting the gospel to somebody who doesn't currently have it. But can I tell you what the best way that we can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people who don't have it? Customer referrals. You say, what? Customers? Yeah, us. Because majority of in this room, you're saved. You know the Lord. And we need somebody like you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell him how he changed your life. You see again there in verse number 20, the shepherds return glorifying, praising God. And as they went, they said, for all of these things that they'd heard and seen, as was told unto them. I see the joy as they left. The joy that they left. And so I've got to bluntly ask you this morning, are you a good billboard for Jesus Christ? Would people want what I have? If somebody was struggling in this world and they didn't know Christ, but they saw me and how I handle problems and how I handle difficulties and relationship issues and job stress and whatnot, if they saw how you handle or how I handle it, would they want what I have? These shepherds, they walked away glorifying, praising God. Now, I understand that everything's not an exciting event that happens in your life. I asked Mom one time, I said, well, how are you supposed to have a smile all the time? I said, John, you don't have to have a smile on the outside all the time, but in your attitude, you should. About whatever's coming your way, you should be able to deal with things in a happy manner. And that's the way we are, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And as we get to heaven, it is our strength that gets to come out. But there are some Christians, and I'm afraid that I've been one sometimes, that they've got the joy down there. I assume they do, but it forgot to get its way up there. Actually, the joy didn't forget. You forgot to let it up. And so I see the excitement, the joy as they leave the manger scene there, as they leave the Christ child in that crude place that Jesus was born, but they left glorifying and praising God, the Bible says. And so this morning, I'd like for all of us here in just a few moments, as we walk out of this place, to do one thing, and that is realize that these shepherds met and worshiped Jesus, and they were never the same. And if you're here this morning and you know Christ, again, I'll be very, very blunt with us. Some of us need to confess to the Lord that we've not been a very good joy spreader for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everybody has different temperaments. Some are loud, some are not. Some of the people are loud. Did you ever notice that the people that are loud are always around somebody that's not, and they complain about the other one? Well, he won't ever speak up, and he won't ever be quiet. Everybody's a little different in all those things. So I'm not saying that we all have to handle things in the same manner. But your rightful possession as a believer, because you haven't physically been to the manger nor to the cross, but if you're saved, you've been to the cross, you know that Savior, that joy is your rightful possession. And I'm afraid that in my family, that I've not always shown the love of Christ that I ought to. You let pressures of life, you let pressures of relationships, you let pressures and demands that come on you through work and through all these other things, and you forget that in all of those things, we're more than conquerors through Christ that saved us. So this morning, I want to leave each of you with you asking that question, am I a good billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, the visit that these shepherds had, it changed them so much. They bowed before the Savior and they worshiped Christ. And then as they got up from their bowing position, they left out. They had to go back to their job, which they were required to do. They had to go back there. But as they went, they worshiped and magnified God, and they glorified Him as they went along. So, much like the people in this room, you're going to have to get up. We're going to have to walk out throughout our life and go watch our sheep, whatever our sheep are. But we can still be as they were, glorifying and praising God. Why? For all the things that they had heard and seen as was told unto them. We're not much different than the shepherds. We could be not much different. They sought Him. They had the encounter thrilled them. But then the joy possessed them as they walked away. But I'm afraid that many of the Christians that I meet, they're seeking the Lord with about the same fervency that I'm seeking to go to the Sun Sphere in Knoxville. I would go. I could go, and maybe one of these days I will. But I'm not breaking any records to get over there. But my friend, I want all of us, every single one of us, to commit to the Lord, not to me or each other, but commit to the Lord. Lord, I want to seek You. Can you imagine the shepherds, one of them saying to the other, well, can't we just go later? It's not important that we go right now. The Scripture says that they made haste and they got over there. I'm challenging you as you finish out this year and we get to celebrate Christmas with our loved ones. I'm challenging each of us to fervently seek the Lord. And I believe that our outlook and our demeanor will be totally different if we truly have a worshipful attitude or worshipful experience, rather, with Him. So this morning, in just a moment, we'll have an invitation. And here's what I'd like to invite everybody to do. You can either come down here and pray, or you can pray there in your seat. But I'd like to challenge everybody to make a holy commitment to the Lord. Lord, like those shepherds, they were diligently looking. They were coming. They made haste and got over there to where you were so they could worship. I want to be that way. I want to commit to the Lord that I'm going to worship Him more this year as it comes. And then the second part of that invitation is this. Perhaps you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you've heard a lot about Him today. He was that Christ child that came, born in a manger, left heaven's glory and came to this earth. But then lived and died on an old rugged cross, buried and rose again. The complete story. And He did it all for you and me. Christmas is just a portion of the story. He got here. But then He lived a perfect sinless life, went to a cruel cross, and rose again in victory, physically, literally, rose again over in victory over all of our sin so that you and I could come to this place in your life and ask Him, receive Him, ask Him to be your Savior. We're going to get gifts in a few days. Most of us would get and give. Some of you have already done it. It's the best illustration the pastor could ever give. The way a kid receives a gift is if somebody's dishing him out, he says, I'll take it. All that you've got to do is receive it. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here this morning or listening or watching and you don't know for sure if you've received that gift of Christ, that gift of forgiveness of sin, that gift of a home in heaven, my friend, what you have to do is open your arms and your heart and receive Christ. You say, is it that simple, Pastor? It is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You simply just receive Him. And so that's the second part of the invitation. The first is, if you're a Christian, I challenge you to make a holy vow to God. I want to do a better job of worshiping You and having the joy of the Lord as I walk throughout my day. And then if you're not sure that you're saved, please receive that gift of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Would you bow your heads together with me as we look to Him in prayer? Lord, I'm thankful for these shepherds. I'm thankful for their example. Lord, I'm thankful that they went with haste. They didn't linger. They just went and did it. But then, Lord, I'm also thankful for the way they returned. They praised You. They glorified You for all that You had done and all that they had heard and seen. And Lord, I pray everybody listening today would make a holy decision for You. First of all, Lord, if they're unsaved, I pray that somebody would get saved. And then, Lord, for every saved individual in this room, I pray they'd make an altar out of their pew right there. If they're at home, that they'd make an altar out of their couch, wherever they're at. Lord, as a Christian, they would look to You and repent of being a sour somebody who isn't doing a good job showing the joy of the Lord. And Lord, help us to walk away glorifying, praising You for all that You've done. Bless us, I pray, and we'll certainly thank You for it. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play? Miss Marianne and Miss Davina will play for us. If you're here this morning, I'm challenging everybody to make that holy vow to the Lord. I'm going to be different. I'm going to go back a different way. I'm going to glorify the Lord in my life. If you'd like to come pray, then this altar is open for you. But perhaps you're here, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Not sure Jesus is your personal Savior. This is the season He entered this world. Wouldn't you take that wonderful Savior as your Savior? If you're here today and you need help with that, you need to clarify some things. Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit. He'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that. Don't be shy. That's what we live for. Oh my, we love it. As they play through another verse or two, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Let's have them play one more verse as they play softly through. If God's dealing with your heart right there, I don't want anybody to get away without you taking a little time with the Lord. Take a little inventory. Have you been a good billboard for Jesus Christ? Those shepherds were. Have mercy. They went away glorifying, praising God. I'd love for us to be the same way. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a joy to be in church this morning. I'm going to be out in the lobby. And Brother Peyton Finn, would you mind coming up here and dismiss us in prayer? My family and I will be out in the lobby, our girls and Jared, and we're going to meet Carson, and we'll be out that way. And we want to say Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. I know that some will be traveling. You won't be able to be here for the Christmas Eve service. If you are in town, bring everybody you can. Whoever family, bring them on. It'll be a timely service. It'll be very sensitive to your time. But I know some of you will travel. And so if we don't get to see you again, from Amy and I, Merry Christmas. We love you and thank God for the chance to get to serve here with you for the glory of God. And we're looking forward to what God's going to continue to do if he tarries his coming and we continue on in this next year. But Brother Peyton, pray for us, please, and we'll meet you in the lobby.
Thank you, Lord, for today, God. Just another opportunity to come out your house, Lord. Just what a blessing it is to fellowship with our believers, God. Just, God, thank you for the message that we were blessed with this morning, God, and the challenge that was presented, Lord. I pray that not only this Christmas season, God, but this upcoming year that will be a billboard for you, God, that our Christian walk and fellowship with you will be infectious, God, that others would see something different and want to know about it, and God, and ask questions, Lord. I pray for our church in this upcoming year, Lord. God, I pray we'll do greater things for you, God, and we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. God, just I pray you'd be with us as we go our separate ways. God, help us as we come back next point in time. Now I pray. Amen.